Okay, friends, I'm going to invite you to regroup. Come on back. Great, thank you. Just a couple of announcements and maybe a couple of prayers that'll go with it. Firstly, we have no new information to share regarding Hope Mission, I think there's a reason for that. We're to be praying, and probably that we already have enough to process as it is, right? And to take that to the Lord in prayer. So please continue praying. Continue praying for Hope Mission. Continue praying for God's perspective, for ourselves, for the leadership as well, and we will wait and see what the Lord does when he is ready to do it. But nothing new to share. And I mean that we have received nothing changed on my end as far as new information coming my way. So we have nothing really to share whatsoever. So it was an interesting exercise. You know, you probably just think about this periodically, but I sort of live in this. You know, this is my job, right? And so it's somewhat of a frustrating experience, actually. Being in my shoes right now, and there's a discipline that goes with it of having to go back to the Lord and saying, I'm frustrated that I don't have answers. I hate waiting because I am an impatient person, and I won't say God made me an impatient person, but he didn't. I can say he didn't make me a patient person, and maybe those are very similar. But all that just to say, I would like answers. I don't have any. What space and posture must I enter into with the Lord in this time? Right? Probably worth thinking about. So why don't we do that now? Lord, first of all, we come to you saying, you're God and we work for you, and we can trust you in your work and in your timing. And I pray that this particular period of this liminal in-between space would not be lost on us in terms of what we can learn from it and how we can enter into it in a way that would really honor you. So I pray your blessings on Hope Mission. I pray your blessings on those who are doing work, those who are thinking about it, those who are taking next steps, and those who are waiting. Lord, we find ourselves at different points resonating with that, feeling like, well, there's something to do or there's nothing to do, and we still need you for it regardless. And Lord, as we as a congregation process how you have been speaking to us, what you have been doing, and where you were calling us, and where perhaps now you are changing things, would you guide us in responding well to you? Because in the end, we don't want to write our story, but we do want to enter into the story you are inviting us into, in the details of how you have made us as a congregation, where you have placed us, what ministry should look like both now and going forward. And so, Lord, we offer ourselves to you with open hands and pray, Lord, have your way and give us a good attitude in the process. Help us with that. I need it. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe two updates, unrelated to that, of course. One is that our brother Dave is not with us this morning, and he normally sets up chairs for us, but happily, the Dream Center just did that for us this morning. But if I end up, say, giving you a last-minute call and saying, I need some help with chairs the next Sunday morning, please just sort of keep that in mind. I have two boys, and I was going to call on them this morning, but happily, the Dream Center just did that for us. So if you see some of the guys around, maybe just thank them, because someone went out of their way last night to do this for us. I do not think we are going to be having a baptism this coming Saturday, as we had said might be a possibility. So if something changes, I will let you know. But it doesn't look like that'll be happening, but we will hope to have more baptisms as soon as God makes that opportunity available to us. Next, if you've been with us lately, I've been trying to just pick a church each Sunday and pray for it through the summer. And over the last couple of weeks, we prayed for Crossroads, we prayed for Home Church, and this morning I wanted to go from like the big churches to one of the smallest and pray for the church called The Center, or Center Church, as you probably see it all the time, and you probably heard that they did a relaunch recently. If you listen to Shine FM, they had that announcement for quite a while around Easter. And I don't know them well. I have met and spoke with the pastor, Dave Betts, a couple of times. But again, I'm not picking my friends. I'm just sort of picking almost randomly. But in order to say, hey, we're part of one big family, even when we don't know some of our family members that well. And what I have seen of Center Church and Dave Betts, and listening a little bit to their talk about relaunch and what they believe God's calling them to focus on within the city, is really, it's two things. It's worship and evangelism. They've got a real heart to see their church grow numerically, not based on drawing from other churches, but based on people coming to know Jesus. And so they're doing the Alpha program, and I believe they're really focusing on how can we share good news with this city and see people come to Jesus. And they actually say right on their website, their goal is to see 100 people come to Jesus in like the next 5 years or something. I mean, that's a really ambitious goal for a church that's not very big. Could we just partner with them and bless them and pray for them that they would see that happen, right? Our Red Deer would be better if 100 people came to Jesus and went to Center Church. So let's pray for our brothers and sisters there. Let's do that now. Lord, I pray your blessings on Center Church. I pray your blessings on the elders, on Pastor Dave Betts, and the work that you are doing there. And I love how you have crafted each church with an individual identity and a real set of giftings and passion for certain things within your kingdom. And as they have a real passion to see the lost come to Jesus, to see people who don't know Jesus enter into that personal, intimate, lifelong relationship with him, I pray that you would make those things happen. I pray that you would equip them with gifts of evangelism and with people who can lead them in how to share their story and to share the good news really well. Lord, I pray that they would see more than 100 people come to Jesus in the next 5 years. I pray that you would guide them not only in how to share their faith, but then as people come to faith, guide them in the discipleship process that necessarily comes with evangelism and people coming to Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray blessings on your church in Red Deer and beyond. I pray that we would each come with this attitude of there is only one church here, and it is the Lord's church, and it's all those people who know and love Jesus. So, Lord, I pray your best for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I missed this over the last couple of weeks, though I had the guys who were hosting remind us of this, but I'm really hoping that we are praying into and memorizing these scriptures this summer. And so let me just remind you of them. It's take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And think about this, right? That as you learn to love something about God, God actually births in you more of a love and a desire for him. It's somewhat self-fulfilling, actually. And then, will you not revive us again, Lord, that your people may rejoice in you? Could you be praying into these, that the Lord would do renewal work in his people so that we would learn to love and delight in and worship him, that we would see more of who he is because he does something new in us? Could we pray into these this summer? And let's look forward to seeing what God is and will do. Lord, I pray that we would have this heart. This heart for a delight in you, not for a delight for what we can get from you and what you can do for us, but a delight in who you are, a delight in the joy that it is to be known by you, by the only person who matters, or the one who matters more than anyone else, and that you are a God who is for us. Lord, would you guide us in, and I pray blessings on each one here, that we would find more delight in the particular ways that you reveal yourself to us personally. And they don't necessarily resonate with our neighbor, because our neighbor has something different. Our brother and sister has a different way of relating to you and delighting in different aspects of who you are. But I pray that for each one of us, there's this, I believe deep down there is this. You've made each one of us for you, and you relate to us uniquely, and we are made for you in a way that is unique. And I pray that particular thing, that thing that makes us click with someone, that those clicks would be there with you these days, and that we would say yes as we see more of who you are and enter into more of who you are and see you doing your renewal work in us in the process. Lord, guide us. May these scriptures become part of us and the reality that they speak about become our reality. And Lord, now as we enter into a different part of your word, I pray that it would be your word that is heard, that it would be your spirit who speaks to our hearts, and that we would be here to offer ourselves to be formed by you, to be formed by your character, to be formed by your heart, to be formed by this intimate relationship of dialogue with you, where we allow you to have your way, even as we don't lose ourselves in the process, but find ourselves being remade as you do your work. Would you remake us, Lord? In Jesus' name, amen. Over the last couple of weeks, since I came back from vacation, we've been in the book of Jonah. In the first week, what we noticed from the book of Jonah was that God sometimes changes his plans because circumstances change. And we've been relating this in particular to what may be happening between ourselves and Hope Mission and this agreement and the call that God has for our church and that kind of thing. So we noticed that God sometimes changes the plans because circumstances change, and that we noticed that then his workers, that's us, need to be flexible as sometimes the Lord changes the plan. That's not easy for some of us who don't love spontaneity, who don't love change. And I am one of them, to be sure. But it is something that we do see in the scriptures there. We saw it very clearly in Jonah, where God said, I'm about to do this with Nineveh, and then he changes the plan. And he no longer does it with Nineveh. And we'll see that in a minute. And then Jonah doesn't like the change of, he didn't like the plan all along, but he especially didn't like the way that the plan worked out when God changed it. So that was the first week. The second week was that we noticed that God sometimes changes the scope of someone's ministry, which would apply not only to an individual prophet, but to a church as well. Sometimes God changes the scope of a ministry, the location of a ministry, the focus of a ministry. And we talked about Jonah's backstory, that Jonah was a good times prophet in Israel. Jonah was known as proclaiming favor and blessing to a kingdom of Israel that was currently following a very wicked king. Jonah was given words from the Lord to speak grace and blessing and prosperity and security to the people of Israel who were not going God's way, but God said, I will still bless them and I will use Jonah to do it. And then God dramatically change and abruptly changes the scope of Jonah's ministry, because instead of speaking blessings, he's now being told to go somewhere else and speak a message of doom. Sometimes God changes the scope and the location and the focus of ministry, and God's workers need to be flexible with it. And if we're not, it probably reveals we have some idols around ministry, around how God should work and how he should use us in particular. That seems to come out in Jonah. We also talked about how sometimes the changes that God brings to a ministry are not only for the people receiving that ministry, but are also for the people who are called to serve in that ministry. And I argued from the scriptures that God selecting Jonah, of all people, this let the good times roll prophet, when he's called to go speak judgment and doom to Nineveh, it creates all of these internal problems for Jonah, and that was God's way of putting his finger on, there's some work that needs to be done inside Jonah, and that God choosing Jonah was not only for Nineveh's benefit, but for Jonah's himself. And we talked about how Romans teaches that in all things, God works for the good. And we applied that to Jonah, that it couldn't therefore just have been for Nineveh. It was simultaneously also something that God wanted to it was an opportunity that God wanted to use to work on Jonah himself. So we talked about how sometimes changes in ministry, even the ones that we don't like, can actually be for our benefit. And might not God do the same thing here? He might. Might God not do the same thing with our plans, whether it's where we worship or what it is that we focus on, or the future plans that we think that we have for a neighborhood or for a city and beyond? Might not God change those things here? It is his prerogative. But the whole point of this was to go back and say, God has done it before in Scripture. So we this is not something, if it should happen, it's not something that would be out of the blue. Right? Now, I've heard a number of times, and I've just felt it myself, like these messages were like really landing with some people as they were reflecting on just where we are at right now, a timely message, that kind of thing. And I just want to remind you, I got instructions from the Lord on this, like in a dream. So like, I don't want to take any credit for it. It was just, the messages were just sort of there. And it's not that I didn't participate in the process or anything like that, but I just mean like this, I have recognized, and I've noticed that other people have really recognized God's really in this doing something. So like, let's just say, yay, God. Please don't give me any credit for it. Why not? On Friday night, I took my boys up to Edmonton to see a concert. The backstory to that is that a number of months ago, I'd heard that there was this big Christian band that our boys like who was coming to Alberta, and I got tickets. And then a whole bunch of things changed that I'm not going to get into, and the tour organizer canceled the tour. And the tickets were non-refundable, which meant I had tickets to an event that was just canceled. My plans are about to change. Now, the tour organizer then says, we can't refund your tickets, but we're going to bring in another band, and your tickets will be available. Well, the band that we had chosen to see, every single one of you would recognize, because they've been around for a very, very long time. They're top level. And the band that was organized to replace was like third level. Like, you know, it went from a stadium size concert to slightly larger than this room. because that's the level of like fan base that they have, right? Like this is like, these are not equal. Our plans got changed. And then, so we show up to this concert for this level of band, and the lead singer comes out and says that there are only three guys in this band. And he says, I am so glad I made it to Canada. They let me in. But the other two guys didn't come, didn't get in. And so now, instead of even getting this level, it went lower. And to his credit, he said, I'm still going to play. I play piano. I play guitar. He's the lead singer, so of course he's going to sing. And he sang the band's songs and recognized a lot of them from the radio. But it went from here to here, and then you could just feel the disappointment in all of us, my boys, myself, just like we're going down as this thing starts. But as we started to work through the disappointment and let go of what was supposed to be, and then the next thing that was supposed to be, and entered into what it was, it was really good. Really good. Not what we wanted, not what we'd paid for, not what we'd hoped for, but really good. Really good. We had a good time. I'm glad we went. Do I have to make the specific application to that story as we think about where things might be going? Probably not. You're all intelligent, all right? I just wanted to share that story with you. We're now going to transition slightly to a different topic from Jonah that will still then apply to what God's saying and doing among us. You know that saying, when you point the finger, you got three pointing back at you, right? This is one of those messages where if I am ever pointing the finger, there are six pointing back at me. Like I'm doing this, okay? Like I need this message more than all of you and probably many of you put together, okay? So I won't necessarily say that as I continue on through this. I'm just letting you know ahead of time. I know I need to work on this more than most of you, okay? And I know that because I couldn't even figure out what exactly the message was at first for this particular week. I was just absolutely struck as I continued reading through Jonah with the grace God had for Jonah. And I looked at my own life. And the reason I was so struck by that was because I couldn't figure out how or why God would have so much grace for Jonah, which revealed something in me, right? So there, if you're getting the sense that he's pointing at you, just remember I got three or six pointing back at me, okay? I know that. Let me remind you of this story, right? Jonah is told to go to Nineveh, which are his people's enemies. Remember, Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria, and Assyria was the superpower of that day that beat up on all the little guys, including Jonah's people. So Jonah is told to go to the capital city of his enemies and tell them their time is up, that destruction is coming, and Jonah runs. And at first in the narrative, it does not reveal why it is that Jonah runs. But it says that Jonah runs from the presence of the Lord. He says, I'm not delivering that message. And you know, of course, the story of how he flees on the water. He eventually gets swallowed by a fish because he'd rather die than follow God's command. God gives him a second chance. The fish vomits Jonah back on the beach, and God's command comes again. Do the exact same thing that I told you. So Jonah goes, and he preaches the words that the Lord gave him. He declares his prophetic word as the Lord told him. Jonah just repeated it. You got 40 days left, Nineveh, and then it will be destroyed. But they repent, and God changes the plan, which makes Jonah look like a false prophet, and he's already upset because he didn't, as we then find out, he says to God, I didn't want them to get mercy. So we're going to pick it up right there. Jonah chapter 4. As Nineveh repents, it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord. And you got to hear the tone of voice in Jonah. And then remember that the Bible still calls this a prayer. So hear Jonah's prayer, right? Please, Lord, is this not what I said while I was in my own country? Therefore, because I knew that this would happen, I fled to Tarshish, since I know that you're a gracious and compassionate God who's slow to anger and abundant in mercy and one who relents from disaster. He's fuming, furious. I can't even do it properly in this mic, but he is spitting mad. He's so mad, he tried to die. Right? He tried to die rather than let this happen. He's so angry. The Bible calls that prayer. I like that. Have you ever had prayers like that? You should probably have some prayers like that once in a while. The Bible gives you permission to speak honestly with the Lord, and very often very honest prayers get very honest and sometimes more clear responses from the Lord. Keep that in mind. So he says to God, take my life. I'd rather death is better to me than life. But the Lord said, do you have a reason to be angry? Do you have a right to be angry? Well, then Jonah left the city and sat down east of it, and he made a shelter for himself and sat in it under the shade until he could see what would happen to the city. So the Lord made a plant spring up over Jonah to be his shade over his head, to give him relief from his discomfort, and Jonah was overjoyed about the plant. But then God sent a worm when dawn came the next day, and the worm attacked the plant and it withered. And when the sun came up, God sent a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint, and he begged with all his soul, saying, I'd rather die than live. Give me death. But God said to Jonah again, do you have a good reason to be angry about the plant? Yes, I have good reason to be angry, enough to die. The Lord said, you had compassion on this plant, which you did not work for, which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who don't know the difference between their right hand and their left, spiritually speaking, as well as many animals? Could you hear the amount of compassion that God is overflowing with, that it can't even stop with just the people? He has compassion on the people's animals. That's grace. So this is the word of the Lord. I am absolutely struck by the extravagant grace that God has for Jonah. When Jonah gets the word from the Lord, his first response is, heck no, I quit. And it's not just like I'm quitting my job. He starts running, and the text says very explicitly he runs from the presence of the Lord, which is sort of a mystery in itself, how he thinks that he can do that. And yet he's going to make his very best attempt, because he's not just quitting his job. He's essentially saying, I'm quitting you. I realize I can't really run from you, but I'm going to try my very, very hardest. He's not denying God exists anymore. He knows that's not possible. but he's going to try to live his very best as though God doesn't exist, which might be even more insulting to the Lord. He's essentially asking for a divorce. You go your way, I'm going mine. Right? That's what Jonah's doing. Right? There's this absolute undiluted hatred for his enemies. That might be somewhat understandable. Perhaps Jonah knows people who lost children and loved ones and so on at the hands of the people of Nineveh, right? And yet he's confronted by God's love for them and says, I want nothing to do with you. I want nothing to do with this mission. And the anger that wells up in Jonah and the ways that it comes out to God are it's like Jonah's finding every possible way to push God as far away as he can. And God's response just blows me away. Because what I expect the Lord to say, because I often think God's like me, is, you should know better, Jonah. That's what I think. Jonah needs a good slap up the backside of the head and reality check, buddy, and I expect more from you, and those kinds of responses, because that's what wells up in me, and God's like me, right? And that's why I'm constantly confronted as I read Jonah with this grace that comes to Jonah. And I realize the definition of grace is it's something that you don't deserve. But he really doesn't deserve it. I mean, he really, really knew better. And then I read this and I go, God, were you making the right call with Jonah? Like that's why I was just so struck in this wrestling match this past week. I mean, are you someone who says, you should have known better? Is that your first response to Jonahs in your life, to the people who work for you, the people that you have authority over, oversee? Parents with children, right? And I'm not saying that God never says you should know better. No, I'm not saying that. I think there's a time and place for that. I think we could probably find some scriptures that do that. In fact, I'll talk about a couple maybe later on. But here with Jonah, it's like I'm watching this thing unfold and I'm waiting for the Lord to just get it together. And it's not there. Why is it not there? Okay, it's not there because there's something wrong in me. Oh, crap. Right? So God's approach to Jonah isn't, you should know better. His approach to Jonah instead is a series of conversations about God's heart. Is that your default? Because that's not where my head would have gone. You broke the rules. Here are the rules. Fix your relationship with the rules. And what God wants to do, I mean, there are actually scriptures, and I didn't even bother looking it up to give you the exact one. If you ask me for it later, we will find it together. It's maybe Deuteronomy 30, where God says, if I proclaim judgment on a nation and that nation repents, I've like written myself essentially a get out of jail free card here and say, I said it, but I will change my mind if they repent. God could point to even chapter and verse for Jonah. But instead of even doing that, he invites Jonah into a conversation about how much he still loves the Nineveh people and their animals. It's not judgment for Jonah. It's a conversation about God's heart, which means that Jonah gets the same treatment that Nineveh gets. And you know what? So often we, as particularly religious people, we love grace for those who come to Jesus. All your sins are wiped away. Your past is gone. That's not your story anymore. But we don't automatically show that same level of grace and love for those who fall after they know Jesus. We don't often offer that same level of grace to ourselves when we screw up. It's, I am such an idiot. I should have known better. That kind of thing. Yet that's not where God goes. It's the Lord talking to him about God's heart and God's actions. And you know, as I sit with Jonah, I would have loved to see where Jonah goes next. Jonah has this brilliant ending, right? Where God asks this rhetorical question and he then leaves it in Jonah's court. And you just don't know where Jonah goes with it. And I would love to have seen more of God interacting with the prophet, the wrestling match continuing, or the way that Jonah might have responded. And as I was reflecting on that, there were some other scriptures that came to mind where I think we see this continue to play out between God and people who aren't happy with the grace he's showing to other people. Some people say to Jesus that they're not happy about the grace that Jesus is showing tax collectors and other prostitutes and addicts and sinners, right? And Jesus' response to them is to tell them a story about two sons. And you know the story of the prodigal son. One says to the father, I wish you were dead. Give me my money. I want to go make the most of life. And he goes off and makes the most that he can until all the money runs out. And he comes to a point of repentance and comes back to his father. And the father sees him and goes running. And we love, I love that story. As the father runs to that prodigal son, like that gets me here, right? Like I love that. And they throw a party. The father celebrates because the prodigal has come home, right? The Ninevites just had a revival. And the older brother in that story runs from the father in a different way, and he goes out the back door. And he's not happy about the grace that's being shown to his younger brother. And the father himself goes to that older brother and says, you should have known better, you idiot. No. He doesn't say that, does he? Because God's not like Ben, he's better, right? The father in that parable goes to find the older brother who's just as lost but in a different way as the younger one was and has a conversation with him about what he's doing and the heart behind it so that he can invite that older brother into the father's heart. And Jesus makes sure that he tells both sides of that because his response to the Pharisees is not simply to tell them you should have known better, you idiot. It's to invite those very Pharisees who are currently acting as the older brother to come to the Father's heart for them, as well as the Father's heart for the lost, for the prostitutes, the drug dealers. It's grace for the church people too. Thank you, Lord. Right? And so then as you think about Jesus' ministry as a whole, and you think about how much Jesus himself engaged with the Pharisees of his day, we see that conversation with Jonah continue to play out between God and his workers, God and the people who've been slaving away for him and preaching his word and doing his thing alongside him for a really long time. Yet He was reaching, I just want to really emphasize, Jesus wasn't just trying to correct people. He was inviting them into a conversation so that he could draw them in. It was an attempt to reach the older brother, as he was also attempting to reach the younger brothers in his own ministry. The Son of Man came to seek and to save. How does that end? The lost, right? But we have two lost brothers in that parable, which means we have Jesus who's coming just as much to seek lost Pharisees, lost religious people, because they need grace too. And he doesn't give them a, you should know better. Not initially. Not for the bulk of Jesus' ministry. And if you know your Bibles well, you know Matthew 23. And in Matthew 23, Jesus eventually does say, woe to you Pharisees. Right? You got this wrong, you got this wrong, you got this wrong. He does give them a, you should know better. Right? But Matthew 23 comes at the end of Matthew. It comes at the end. It's right before Jesus goes to the cross. It's the very end of Jesus' ministry where he has reached out again and again and again and engaged the local Jonas again and again and again, inviting them to learn from the heart of the Father who came just as much for Nineveh as for Jonah, just as much for the tax collectors and the sinners as he did for the Pharisees. He was there and reaching out to all of them. That's grace beyond what I currently have, but how it's grace like I so desperately need. I want to pause for reflection here. Would you close your eyes and just go into a space with you and the Lord? Where have you had an attitude that says, you should know better, or I expected more from you? One that got in the way of showing grace. If the Lord would identify something like that for you, would you just spend a minute working that out with him? Continuing in that space where you are with the Lord. Ask yourself, do I respond to someone's anger with anger or with seeking God's desire to help the angry person see God's heart? Do I respond to someone's anger or with seeking God's desire to help the angry person see God's heart? Last question for reflection. Where do I need to respond with grace for those who haven't shown me grace when I was a Jonah? When I was a Jonah and someone didn't show me grace like the Lord showed Jonah, where can I show them grace? Okay, amen. I'll try a little experiment here. As you've been reflecting on Jonah, what we've shared, whether it's what's currently happening or something as we've been processing Jonah, is there any either question that you have or thought that you want to share, like the Lord might have been giving you? Just want to throw it open and give that opportunity. Is there anyone who wants to share or ask anything? Sheila was just sharing that she feels like the word she keeps getting is unlimited, that God has an unlimited grace, that his expectations for us... He God has a way of giving to us a grace. He has an unlimited ability to give us the grace that we need to show one another. That's a good way of putting it. God's grace does come to an end at times, right? Clearly with Nineveh, right? You have this amount of time and my grace period will end. And then they get an extension on that because of how they respond to it. God's grace for the Pharisees has a very prolonged life. And then it does come to an end, and they have that opportunity to extend that life depending on how it is they respond. But when it comes to our ability to pass on God's grace, we find that we bump up against limitations ourselves. Jonah clearly bumped up against that limitation and was not at that point able to extend or even comprehend, but extend God's grace to people that he thought didn't deserve it, even though God thought he did. And we need to recognize that we bump up against internal barriers, but they're not limits for God. They're those opportunities for God to show, like Sheila just said, his unlimited grace. He's got more favor than what we can extend or find in ourselves. But that's always the point, right? That God wishes to demonstrate himself to the world through people who are limited. And as he does so, we find out that the limitations that we think we have that are there aren't actually there, because God has that capacity that we don't have. I think I nuanced that slightly, but I think I'm still working with what you shared there. So thank you, Sheila, and well done. Thank you for offering that. Others? As a church family, there are going to be times when we go through differences of opinion. Differences of opinion on what God's doing and what God's doing with Hope Mission or where God's taking us next or whatever that is. We're actually going to need to have meaningful conversations together about God's heart and about how we see God at work. And there are going to be times where two sides both think the other one is more Jonah-like, right? Which means we're going to really need to remember how much grace God has for Jonahs. And we need to be a little bit more honest with ourselves about we've got a piece of Jonah going on all the time. And sometimes it comes out in certain situations and other times it doesn't. And for some, it might come out a little bit more in the situations we're currently talking through as a congregation, while it doesn't for others. But we should still remember, I got that piece in me. God still needs to work on it, and it's not currently coming out, but I'm maybe they're more Jonah-like at the moment, but I've had my moments, and I will have them again. God, give me an unlimited grace for people. Break down the limits within me to show grace to others. Let's remember God's heart for Jonah. And let's engage, and I really do mean that, because I'm struck once again in this passage by how God's grace for Jonah meant engaging him in conversation, not simply doing some stuff at Nineveh and then leaving Jonah to process it on his own. Right? So let's have good conversations. And let's thank God for his grace. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. I come back to where I started with three fingers pointing back at me and my own deep need to have you do your work in me, that I would be a channel of your grace rather than throwing up barriers to it. Lord, would you guide each one of us in in remembering you want to deal with that Jonah part of each one of us that comes out at different times. Whether it's coming out these days as we have a particular conversation about the direction of our church or not, there's still stuff you want to work on where we're not always too happy with the way that you work. But Lord, help us love you enough to let you not only do your work out there, but do your work deep inside each one of us. And Lord, I pray that what you would birth in us is a heart like you had, where you love people and go after people with a grace that we would be able to see didn't come from ourselves. Lord, so often we thank you for the grace as it relates to the cross. And we think of it as that we received grace in the moment that we said yes to Jesus and washed us clean of our past. And then I have to confess for myself, and I imagine I'm echoing something in the room here, that we don't always delight in or recognize that same amount of grace, if we could calculate it, that you showed us when we first said yes to Jesus and repented, is the grace that you give us day by day. Whether we even recognize we're playing the Jonah or not. So thank you for a favor and a way of seeing people that's better than what we would have done. And I pray that you would again birth that heart in us to have that attitude, that posture, that disposition, and then the actions that go with it to engage well, even with those who would treat us or are treating you like we want nothing to do with you, we want nothing to do with this work that you're doing, we're quitting. Lord, would you grant us great love that has nothing to do with whether or not people accept us? Would you grant us a love for people that isn't conditional on how they respond to us? And would you grant us a peace that can engage in conversation even when the conversation started with anger? And I pray that in the middle of those conversations, we would find you leading us to your heart and to how you are at work in the moment. Lord, I pray your blessings on my brothers and sisters. I pray that each one of us would take something from your word and what your spirit is addressing that changes the way that we engage with you, engage with others, and engage with the world. That we might see grace multiplied again and again, and people come into the kingdom, or older brothers come back into the Father's house. And when it happens, Lord, we will say, you are a God who didn't stop where I had limitation. It was your grace at work. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you rise and we'll close out with some more worship, please? The Lord has promised good to you, no matter what your week looked like. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit carry you through this week. Have a great week, everyone. If anyone would like prayer, happy to do that or say hi. Blessings. Thanks for being here. See you soon.